Yeah. Come on, church, he hides me. Yes, singing, my God. He come to heal you when you're broken. Yes, he has. Oh, sing it again, sing my God, my God. Yes, my God. He can move the mountain in your life this morning. Yes, he can. Oh, sing my God. My God is all. He heals you when you're broken. Yes, when you're weak, he is your strength. Now sing, my God is awesome. My God is awesome. Sing it, he's awesome. Yes, he's awesome. Come on, church. Come on, he's awesome. Come on, church. Sing it out this morning. Sing, my God is awesome. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Get the gloves on. Come on, let the glory of God shine upon you this morning. He is, he's awesome. Sing it again. My God is, you know he is. Awesome. Tell him how awesome he is this morning. Yes, amen. He is awesome. Sing it again, my God. You know he is. I said he's awesome. Yes, he is. He's awesome. Oh, he's awesome. One more time. My God is awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I said he's awesome. He's awesome. He is. Now he is my healer. My healer. My healer. My healer. My healer. My healer. So I said he is awesome. Do it again. He is your healer. My healer. My healer. Healer, he's my healer. Yes, he is all. He is your deliverer. 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 He's my deliverer. Yes, he is. He's my deliverer. Come on, come on. Oh, he's my provider. Yeah, yeah. He's your provider. He is awesome. Oh, awesome. He's great. He's great.
He's great.
He's great. He's great. I said, my God is a great God. He is greatly to be praised.
Awesome.
He is awesome.
Awesome.
Now go to the top. My God. Yes, he is. He's going to move the mountain this morning. Gonna meet you in the valley. Hallelujah.
My God is
Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, amen. Hallelujah. Do verse 2. Yes. My God. I want you to think about what you're singing this morning. You are not just singing words this morning. You're singing about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're singing about a God who is real. You're singing about a God who is alive this morning. Come on and give him some praise this morning. Tell him how awesome is he in your life this morning. Sing, my God is awesome. My God, you know he is. I said, he is awesome. Come on and take it this morning. He's awesome. Yes, awesome. Sing it again. My God
is awesome. 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 Awesome.
Jesus, hallelujah. I need need everybody in the house this morning to raise their hands up. Raise up your hands. He is here. Jesus is in the house this morning. Raise up your hands. In Jesus' name. Shabbate kiriyandoho. God, you are awesome. You are awesome, Lord. Jesus. You are awesome. We don't serve a dead religion. We don't serve a dead God. We serve an awesome God. You are awesome, Lord. Father, we lift our hands and just surrender to you, Lord God, for who you are. Lord, forgive us for walking in this place and not giving you full permission, for not acknowledging you for who you really are, because you are an awesome God. Jesus, so many of us have looked at our vehicles and we said, we got an awesome car. We've looked at our homes and we said, we got an awesome house. We've looked at our jobs and we say, we got an awesome job. Today, we declare, you are awesome, God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, you are awesome. You are awesome. Hallelujah. You are awesome. Hallelujah!
Awesome. 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 My God is awesome. Awesome.
Jesus, you're awesome. Father, you are awesome. You are awesome. There is none like you. Never was and never will be anyone like you. Lord, we thank you that we serve an awesome God, an amazing Father, one that runs after us, one that we don't have to do anything to please, just simply obey and simply say, yes, you are awesome. This morning, God, Father, I pray, Lord God, that you'd line our hearts up. You'd realign our thinking. To know that, Father God, when we come into your house, we're coming to serve, to acknowledge an awesome God. Jesus. Hallelujah. You're worthy this morning. You're worthy tomorrow morning. You're worthy next week. You're worthy next month. You're worthy next year. You are worthy. Jesus, today. Lord, I don't care what we came in with. We're not going to leave with it. I don't care what our minds even say. We take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just say we're here for you and you alone. Today I pray and ask you, Lord God, to have your way in us. Have your way in us, Lord. Lord, it'd be an injustice if we came here. It'd be an injustice if we came here and just sat in a seat. We say we do our Sunday thing. We go about the rest of our day and the rest of our week. And we never acknowledge you again. We never give it a second thought. But you're still awesome. Hallelujah. Today, I pray, God, that you'd awaken us. Revive us, Lord. Refresh us, Father. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, that those that are living in the mundane life, they think that they're serving you. But Lord, they haven't stepped forward. Lord, I pray today is the message that they need to hear. For them to step out of the comfort zone, for them to move forward in whatever it is that you've called them to do. And Father God, we're going to say yes, we're going to serve you, and we're going to declare to this world what an awesome God we have. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't God awesome this morning? Come on now. Isn't God awesome today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make sure on your way back to your chairs that you go and meet somebody that you don't know. If you are in your chair, just turn around. Introduce yourself to somebody you don't know. Listen, we still got 2 minutes. Get out of your seat. Get out of your seat. We got 2 minutes. Go meet somebody you don't know. Go talk to somebody else. 2 minutes. Get out there.
Everybody's got a blank page, a story they're writing today, a wall that they're climbing. You can carry the past on your shoulders, or you can start over, regrets, no matter.
Hi, I'm Diane Hughes.
And I'm Deb Willis.
And we're co-leading Divorce Care. What is Divorce Care, you ask?
Divorce Care is a 13-week program for those that are divorced or separated, offering emotional support and spiritual guidance during this turbulent time in your life.
We know from personal experience how difficult it is to fit in, and we're here to help. Come and meet with us on Tuesday nights starting February 9th from 5:30 to 7 in Classroom 1.
$20 covers the cost of the class and the workbook. Yes, there is homework. Come and join us. We hope to see you there.
We would love to invite you to Pastor Spencer's 50th birthday party. The gray hair is a sign for celebration. So on April 1st, for $60, we're going to be hosting a birthday party at the Harbor Inn Hotel in Watkins Glen. If you would love to join us, you can see somebody out at the hub or follow the link right here. We would love to see you. We're excited about it. Go give them a hug for us today.
Grace and peace, people of God. I'm here to let you know this, that we have a class designed especially for you. It's called Catch the Vision. You want to take part in this class because this class will show and tell you how this church came into its being. Yes, we are affecting thousands of people's lives, and you need to know the history behind your church. You need to understand that this class will take place every first and second Sunday of every month in classroom number 1. Meet us there in Jesus' name.
Amen. How's everybody doing? Worship got us going, right? You all riled up now? Amen. We want to real quick welcome all of the guests to the house this morning. If maybe we didn't get a chance to meet you out front, we want to give you the opportunity to get a gift from us and also a packet. If there's any first-time guests in the house today, this morning, if you could just slide your hand up. We don't want to embarrass you or call you out or anything like that, but if you'd like to get a free gift and also a packet, we'd like to get that to you. Is there any guests in the house? Raise your hands. Anybody see anybody? Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, that means that we got to bring some more guests, right, church? Amen. Awesome. All right. Now, the other thing we want to make mention of real quick is if you have an I almost said iPhone because, you know, there's Androids out there, but I'm an iPhoner. So if you have a smartphone, if you want to just take that out real quick, this is an awesome opportunity, a free evangelistic tool that we have where we can let our friends know, because there's a lot of people in here with a lot of friends on Facebook, right? Okay, so what you want to do is you want to get on Facebook, you want to go to His Tabernacle, or just go into your own and just check in at His Tabernacle, letting people know where you are right now in case they need to. So make sure you check in to His Tabernacle this morning. And also live stream, we want to welcome you to 11 a.m. second service. We welcome you. We love you. You're our online campus. We pray you're blessed today in your home in Jesus' name. Real quick, we want to give the opportunity for Pastor Jade, Pastor Chad to talk about the New Awakened Ministry.
Good morning, church. It's so awesome to be here. We are so excited. Tuesday is the first Awakened service. So it's going to be an awesome Connect group Tuesday. And if you are from high school, all the way up to 28 years old, my dad said that, oh, hey, Josh, how are you? I haven't seen you in forever, sorry. If you are all the way up to 28 years old, you can come and check us out. It's going to be 6 p.m. every single Tuesday. And so we've just published the Awaken Facebook page. I'm going to tag it on the His Tabernacle Family Church website. Or on the Facebook. If you want to go on, you can like, you can share. Just kind of spread the word. If you guys know anybody in those age groups, come, invite them. Let them just test it out and see if they're interested in it. Because everybody wants to do something with people in their age group. So it's going to be really cool. If you have graduated high school all the way up to 28, can I just see your hand? Let's see some honesty this time because, you know, we had some, That's so cool. Yeah. Awesome. Well, we are so excited. We're looking forward to seeing you guys. We'll see you there.
Well, praise the Lord. Did my wife raise her hand, Pastor? Did you raise your hand? Okay. We've had an awesome time in the presence of the Lord today. First service was awesome. Second service is awesome. And I got to tell you, I have the privilege of the best part of the service. At least it's my favorite part. And that's giving. My wife and I, we love to give to the Lord. It's changed our lives. But it wasn't always like that. There was a time when I didn't understand the tithe. When I found out what it meant, I was actually very confused. I didn't know why anybody would want to give 10% of their income to a church. And I thought people were nuts for that. Be honest with you. I'm going to be totally honest. Even after I got saved, gave my heart to Jesus, I still didn't understand it. But I thank God for a man that sat down with me, a very influential businessman, and he shared with me a few things what I'd like to share with you today. And what he did, it actually changed my life. I gave 1 week, I gave another, I gave a third week, and then I realized things were changing. I'd removed barriers that I'd placed in front of the Lord because of not giving. I had things happening. I had a whole new spiritual awakening because of my ability to give. And it was just my mind, my mindset, and making that decision to give. Changed my life in several other ways too. I have a very good testimony where I came from, but God has blessed our lives supernaturally with finances. He's blessed our lives with promotions. He's blessed our lives in so many ways. He's blessed me with a beautiful wife, a beautiful family. Everybody in first service found out she turns 50 soon, so I don't want to leave you all out, but stand up. She looks great. I'm a blessed man. The blessings don't stop there. We serve in an awesome church with an awesome staff and great congregation. It just doesn't stop. I believe the whole time as my wife and I decided to give unto the Lord that He's gone ahead of us and He's changed things for us ahead of us. He's worked even above our own abilities. He's blessed our business. Top 50 roofing contractor in the United States. Not because of what I did, what God did. It's all Him. I don't have those abilities. So I believe today that, you know, the sacrifice that Jesus gave to us is enough. That should motivate us enough to give. All the rest is just the blessing of God, being children of God. But I want you to understand, you can be sure of one thing. When you give in this house, when you give something that is of value to you, it's going to go to somebody that has a need. And they're going to value that gift that you've given here. So if you'd stand with me. Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, there also will be your heart. Father, I thank you for your gifts and your blessings on this people. I thank you for the vision that you've placed in this church. I thank you for the many lives that are being touched because of the givers in this church. I thank you that you're changing the lives of the givers. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. So let's do our supernatural proclamation. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my baskets. The blessing has chased me down. It's tripped me up. Why? Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. Say it like you mean it. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come and give your offering to the Lord. You on live stream, if you'd like to get in on the blessing, if you'd like to give to the vision of this church, feel free to click on tithes and offerings. Thank you.
No more shackles, no more chains. No, come on.
No more bondage, I am free.
I am free, yes. Come on and sing it. No more shackles, no more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. Come on, shake it off this morning. Hallelujah. Sing it one more time. No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise this morning. We are free, amen. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free, what? Indeed. Free indeed, amen. Hallelujah. Could I get you to stand with me? I know that you've sat down. This is the first church of calisthenics this morning, amen. I want us to sing an old chorus that's as old as I am, maybe a little older than I am, but it really doesn't matter. It's still good, amen. It goes like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. That's it. It's easy. Sing it again. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. You're getting it. Let's do it again. I said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. This is why. Because He hath done great things. Sing it again. He has done. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy name. One more time. For He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy name.
Now we're going to sing that song again. I felt like as we were singing it this time, some of us were singing, I'm going through this, I'm going through that, it's not so great. So as we sing it this time, you're going to proclaim to what you're going through that God has done great things. All right? I don't need to push you into it. I don't need to pump you into it. But the truth of it is God has sent me here this morning to tell you that He's already went before you. I said He's already went before you. The cool thing about God is God knows the end from the beginning. I said God knows the end before you even get halfway through. God knows the end before you start at the beginning. So I said, He has done great things. Yes, He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy name. Now you're starting to get it. Sing it again. I said, He has. Come on, church. Come on. Yeah, come on. Yes, He has. For He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy name.
now. We're singing it, and some of you are starting to get it. Some of you are starting to raise your hands. Now, if we could do that all together and sing it one more time. And as you raise your hands, surrender it all to God. And as I said to you before, you proclaim that He has done great things for you starting today. For He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy name. Amen. Come on. Come on. Give God praise this morning. He is worthy. I said He is worthy of praise. I said He is worthy of praise. I said, my God is worthy. Come on, come on, give Him some praise this morning. He is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of all glory. He is worthy of all honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't hurry. Don't hurry. Just hold on a second. Don't hurry. Don't hurry. This is second service. I really don't have to hurry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, come on. Come on, your breakthrough is right there. Your breakthrough this morning is right there. Come on, continue to press in. Continue to praise God. We don't need music. We don't need things to go on. All you've got to do is begin to thank God, begin to praise God, begin to give God glory for that which He is going to do. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. We worship You this morning. Come on, church. Make some noise. Come on. Shout victory this morning. We worship You, Father. You alone are worthy of praise. We glorify You this morning. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. This is the year of what? I said this is the year of kingdom seed. Amen. Before you sit down, we're going to get ready to read that Psalm chapter 1 verse 3. But before we do that, I just want to thank our pastor, Pastor Mike, and Pastor Rhonda for allowing me to preach this morning as they are away preaching. And we also want to remember Pastor Johnson. He's away this morning preaching in Kansas City, getting ready to do a revival this week. And we just want to thank God. I said this first service, it is awesome to know that God has raised up people in this congregation that we can have pastors that can be everywhere ministering and taking His tabernacle all over. Amen. So I just want to give God glory for our pastors and thank Him and praise Him. Amen. All right, if we could read Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Amen. Amen. I said we prosper in all we do, amen. I said we prosper in all we do, amen. I think, you know what, for such a long time the church has gotten so accustomed to the Word of God that we forget to take it literally, amen. We forget to take the Word of God literally. It says we will prosper in all we do, amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Keeping along the theme of Year of the Kingdom Seed, the title of this message this morning is Praise is the Seed to Get You Out of Your Problems. Praise is the seed to get you out of your problems. Now, I'd like to think that we all came into church this morning and that none of our problems followed us in. You put them in the glove compartment. You left them at home. You put them in the dirty clothes hamper. You did whatever you had to do. I'd like to believe that, but I am a little bit wiser than that, and I know that our problems don't stay outside the church. Amen? Now, we're a couple weeks into the new year. I got to believe that everything's going good, right? A couple people gave me that sarcastic yes. Some people said yes. Some people are prophesying yes. I said, is the year going good so far? All right, some people were honest. I wanted you to be honest. I didn't just want you to tell me what you thought I wanted to hear. Because the truth is life goes on, right? We start our New Year's resolutions. I don't believe in New Year's resolution, but what I decided was is that I was going to eat more greens this year. more greens. I'm not really sure why, other than I know they're good for you, but I read it in my Men's Health magazine that said eat more greens, and if it's in Men's Health, it's got to be good for me, right? That's what my wife thinks. If I come up with something, she says, what'd you do, read that in Men's Health? Yes, I did. I'm trying to be healthy. I'm getting a little older. I'm only 29. I'm not 28, so I can't go, but I'm 29. That's not the truth. God forgive me. I didn't tell the truth. But anyhow, life happens, right? And our New Year's resolutions fall off, and everything that we had planned for a good year tends to twist and get a little sideways on us, and we begin to realize that just because the year is new, life continues to go on, that there are still battles, there are still trials, there are still tribulations, but as we believe that we're going to go higher this year than we did last year, we got to know that we're still going to have battles. Now, I want to tell you something. If you don't agree with me, if you don't believe that this year you're going to be higher than what you were last year, it's time to get that thought process going this morning before we go any further. We don't have to go back to last year, because last year was last year. Last year's behind us. And when it struck midnight on 2016, it's a new year. And I believe that in that new year, I believe that God spoke to me personally and he said, David, you will not be in the same place that you were last year. You'll be higher. Now, as I believe that, I also believe that as I go higher in the things of God, I also believe that the enemy's going to come more against me, because guess what? If I'm just doing what the enemy wants me to do, he's already got me. But if I'm further in the kingdom of God and I'm waging war against the kingdom of the devil and the kingdom of hell, guess what? He's going to war back, right? Because he wants what God has and he wanted to be what God was. But guess what? We have got to continue to go farther than where we are. Amen. We've got to continue to believe that we're going to go higher, that even though we're going to have trials and tribulations this year, God is still God. So I had at the beginning of the year, we were watching, actually it was a couple days before, we had decided to watch this movie called War Room. Amen? How many have watched that movie? Good movie. If you haven't watched it, you might want to get it and watch it. But I want to tell you what, if you get it and watch it and you don't pray, you're going to want to learn to pray. If you don't pray, it's going to help encourage the prayer life. If you already pray and you have not prayed like you should pray, you're going to pray more. Amen? Because this spoke to me about my prayer life. And I just felt like God used that movie to say, David, you need to spend way more time with me than what you are. And you know what? Because I was attentive and listened to the Holy Spirit, I've had some great times. 3 o'clock in the morning, I get up to go to work. And as I'm getting ready to go to work, I go get the coffee. I go into the living room in the dark. And one day it was pretty neat. It was cold, and it was really cold. And our house is a big old fashioned cold house, and you can watch the curtains blow in the wind. And so we have a big fireplace. And the night before, I lit the fire, and I thought it would probably be out. When I got down there, it was still going. So I thought, this is cool. So I put the coals around, pulled the ottoman over, got down on my knees at the fireplace, began to talk to God. And as I began to talk to God, I felt like God said, just you, David, taking the time to get on your knees before me makes me want to be with you. Makes me want to be with you. And that's you know, a parent loves to spend time with their children. And as our children grow up, guess what? They drive, they work, they have friends. And they go away, but we still want to spend time. And God our Father's that way with us. He still wants to spend time. So I felt like he said some things, and he said, this year's going to be different for you, David, and you're going to get some victories in some places that you've been waiting for. And right shortly after that, I had something go on inside my body, up underneath my rib cage, and I thought, well, maybe just a pulled muscle or a gas bubble or whatever, and I just kind of ignored it. Because I believe that God knows what's going on inside of me, and I'm the type of person, to be honest with you, I've told my wife, unless I cannot walk, don't take me to the doctor. And so there were some things going on in there, you know, the devil would like to say, you got some issues in there, you got some problems. And in fact, it was about 12:30, and I had gotten done watching War Room and just got done praying. Christina and I got on our knees on our sofa and just began to call out on God for our family. So, you know, it wasn't any strange thing that all of a sudden I get some pain in there because I was talking to my Savior. And so I had, make a long story short, I had this pain, decided not to worry about it, had it for 3 or 4 days. And Christina thought I was having a heart attack, but I'm too young to have a heart attack. And she tried to make me go to the doctor, but work called, so I went to work. Well, the very next day, the washer decided to quit working. Now, remember, I told you God spoke to me that things were going to change. So the washer starts to not work, and it's a Sunday afternoon, and we have lots of children, and me, I'd like to do a few things, get my clothes dirty at work and whatever. So Christina says, you know, we got to have the washer work, or we're going to have to go to the laundromat. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to the laundromat. I know she don't want to go to the laundromat, so I'll fix the washer. Well, it didn't turn out that way. At that point in time, I could start to say, God, where are you? You promised me this, but this is already, I'm 2 days in. It was January 3rd. I'm 2 days in, and things are a mess. But I was reminded to praise God, to call out on God, to speak things as though they're not, so that they will be. Amen. And so, as we know that this is the year of kingdom seed, and we have titled this morning's message, Praise is the Seed Out of Your Problem, I want to go into that a little bit. I want us to see as a church, I got a ring up here, fellas, that as we learn to praise our way through our issues, all of a sudden our focus is not turned on our issues, but it's turned on our Savior. Amen. So praise is, here's just a few things that praise is. Praise is an expression of admiration. Praise is showing appreciation and thanks. So as we know what praise is now, we can see that praise is referred to throughout all the book of Psalms. If you have ever spent any time in Psalms, you'll see that there's the book of Psalms is praise, it's worship, it's David, it's Asaph. There's other men who have wrote Psalms in adoration of God. And in chapters 146 through 150, we don't have time to read all of them, but that's the main focus of those chapters is praise. And in fact, each chapter is started and ended with praise the Lord. And throughout the chapters 146 through 150, you'll see that God is being praised for what he has done, how he has provided, how he has met the needs, how he has been the one to go before in battle, how he has been the one to heal. But not only what he has done, but for who he is. And so many times I feel like we get into this rut where we as Christians, we want God to always meet our need. And in wanting our needs met, we forget to thank God and praise God for who he is. For who he is. That he's my redeemer. That he's my healer, that he's already done that, that he's my comforter, that he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross so that I could be saved and washed and made whole. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we could stop and we could begin to praise God for who he is. And I think that we all could agree this morning that it is a whole lot easier for us to praise God when things are going right. Amen? I shared in the earlier service, I'm not one to play the lottery, but we all know that I even saw one of the politicians bought a lottery ticket this week. And somebody said, well, what would you do with it? And they said, well, I'll fund my campaign. I'm thinking if I won the lottery, the last thing I want to do is be messed up in politics. You know, I'm thinking maybe the beach or something, you know, something that make me not want to be stressed out. You know, if you were the one to win that $500 million, I would have to believe that it'd be pretty easy for you to bless the Lord. Amen? Oh, God, I want to thank you for meeting my need. $500 million is a lot of money. I want to thank you for, you know, you can pay your mortgage off. You can pay for your cars. You can buy me cars. You know, there's a lot of things we could do with that. But guess what? Life is not always winning the lottery. And actually, winning the lottery is what? It's a gamble, right? And you know what? If you believe in Jesus Christ, life is not a gamble. I didn't even go there first service. Life is not a gamble. I believe the Bible says the footsteps of a righteous man and woman are ordered of the Lord. So I got to believe that even when my good days are good and my bad days are not so good, God is still ordering my steps. Amen. I believe that He's directing me and He's taking me where He needs me to be. And so as that is stated, sometimes it's a whole lot easier to praise God than other. We can agree on that. Amen. And so when you're in the middle of it and you've been going through it a long time, it's not always easy to praise. You know, sometimes we get into situations that last a lot of years. Amen. And the neat thing about God is He knows your beginning from your end. So if you're in the middle of it today and you're here today and you're going, God, this trial has been a long trial. I'm getting tired. I'm getting weary. I just want to remind you, God is speaking to you this morning. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. And He is still God. Church, I'm telling you, He's still God. I said He's still God this morning. Are you awake? Do you hear me this morning? God changes not. He is still God. And our job and our responsibility is to put the seed of praise out there, amen, and to thank Him for what He is doing, even if you don't see it. And so we could go throughout all the Psalms and we could see where David and the others have praised God through issues and trials and tribulations. But I want to take you into the book of Acts. If you could go there, Acts chapter 16. And you'll be able to follow along. I'm really not going to read it. But as I kind of tell the story in my own terms, I would like to just point out two men that God used. And Paul was one and Silas was the other one. And Paul, being a man who was very learned, was part of the culture at that time. You'll see that even trials and tribulations touch all kinds of people, and that all kinds of people still need to praise and worship God. Amen? So Paul and Silas, you can catch up. We're at verse 16. Paul and Silas were going to a place of prayer, and they were met by a slave girl that told the future because she had an evil spirit. And I want us to realize that, you know what, sometimes we're on our way to meeting with God, and as we get ready to go meet with God, guess what happens? Something comes to distract us, amen? You get headed to the place, you get headed to your war room, you get going into that place where you need to spend some time with God, or let's say that you get ready to go do something for God. Maybe you're coming to the church to help with Matthew 25, or maybe you're getting ready to come to a class and to pour into a class and be a part or teach a class or help in the children's wing or whatever. And guess what? Something comes to distract you and take your focus away from what God would have you to do. Amen? And so here they are. They're on their way to the place of prayer, and they're met by a slave girl that told the future. And isn't it just like the enemy to try to distract you with the things that the enemy is good at? This girl has a spirit upon her, and she's trying to tell people the future. And you can go on and down into chapter verse 17. You can find out that the spirit recognized whom they were representing and what their purpose was. And I thought it was pretty neat that it even said there in that verse that they were the servants of the Most High God telling people how to be saved. Servants of the Most High God telling people how to be saved. So you know what? Even the enemy has to recognize who you are. Amen. If you're walking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I want you to know the enemy recognizes who you are. Now, if you don't think he knows who you are and you haven't had any trouble with the enemy, I would hope that that would encourage you. As twisted as it may sound, I hope that would encourage you to do something for God. Because really, you need the enemy after you. Because if we're doing what God wants us to do to further the kingdom, we better have the enemy hot on our heels, because every person that we win to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is one that the devil doesn't get. Amen? And so she follows him around long enough, it says in verse 18, that she followed him along for many days until Paul became greatly annoyed and commanded him it to come out in the name of Jesus. You know what? Sometimes we as Christians, we need to get extremely annoyed with what the devil does, the devil's devices. You know what? We may have some habitual things in our life. You need to become annoyed with them. Because guess what? They control you. And if they're controlling you, I have to believe that God's not in total control. Amen? And if God's not in total control, you need to become annoyed to the place where you say, I don't want any more to do with that, because that takes my focus away from my Savior. Amen? And so they commanded it to come out in the name of Jesus. And the owners saw that their hope of profit was gone, and seized them and dragged them and accused them and tore off their clothes and beat them. So here, this is what all of a sudden, they're doing what God wants them to do. People find out that the slave owners find out that they had just ruined all their profit. And you know, isn't it like the enemy? All of a sudden, when his profit's gone, or even people, when you're quiet at work and you may not say much at work about who your Savior is, you probably not noticed, but all of a sudden you start to talk about Jesus, and guess what? Somebody might notice it. They might not like it. You know, if we were to stand up and sing Amazing Grace in a public area, probably somebody would notice that, but there's some other things that go on that we just kind of let that go. We say, oh, that's culture. We've allowed culture to become this and that. We've allowed culture to accept things that are not godly, but all of a sudden we stand up for what's godly, and guess what happens? People tend to take notice. And I'll tell you what, church, we can either continue to make notice of our Savior and who He is and what He's about to do and what He wants to do, or we can shy away and be quiet. And I would hope that we would come to the place where we're going to talk about our Savior until maybe we're dragged off, till maybe we're beat, till maybe we're seized. And so the Bible says that after they laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison and commanded the jailer to keep them securely. So things were starting out good for them. It was a good day. They had their personal time. They were on their way to prayer. They were doing what they were supposed to do. And then all of a sudden, this girl comes along. She begins to bother them to the place where Paul says, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. So she gets to know who Jesus is. And guess what? As they do something good, something bad happens to them. And as this happens, and I'm sure that they probably said, when things started to go south, maybe they complained. I don't believe so. I believe something else, and we'll talk about that. But you know what? How many of us, when things don't go the way we want them to go, when the washer breaks down, I start to complain about maybe having to go to the laundromat, or you know, when our body's not doing what it wants to do, or maybe we're facing some personal issues and we're going, God, I believe that you're gonna take care of this, and God doesn't move. And sometimes, I'll use myself for an example. I've been dealing with some things for 7 years. 7 years, and I've been believing God to set some things right, to set some things free. And I have to be honest, I told you I would, and I'd use myself for an example. There's been days when I thought for sure I was going to have victory, didn't have victory. And I said, God, where are you? Right? We go, God, you know, I know that you can do this, because a lot of us have the faith to believe that God will do this, and this is where I sometimes struggle. I go, God, I know that you can do anything because you created me. You took the time to personally make me. You knew me in my mother's womb before I came out. You knew who I was. So I know that you can do this, but we allow the enemy to trick us up and say, you can do it, but why won't you do it for me? Why won't you do it for me, God? I see that you do it for the Banfields. I see that you work out for Pastor Andrea. But why won't you do it for me? Right? Amen. And we look around and we can see and we've heard. And people have came up front and gave testimony. Oh, God, that's great that you do that for them. But how about for me? And so we get distracted and our feet start to get tied up. And it says that the bad day, the good day that started out just all of a sudden went bad. And they can either complain or they can begin to bless God. And you know what? Sometimes that's the same way. Our day will start out good and we'll head on out the driveway. And before we get to the end of the driveway, something's happened. Kids aren't ready to go to church on time. Whatever. They forget to feed the bearded dragon. I'm just preaching to my kids. I don't get to preach to them all the time. They forgot to feed the bearded dragon this morning, so they come into the office, Dad, we forgot to feed the bearded dragon. And so, you know, that's how it is. It's for real at my house, too. So then all of a sudden you're worried about, okay, now how am I going to take care of this? And we get distracted, you know, and the enemy would like to do that. And it's something we laugh about, but something as simple as that can become either an issue or not an issue. And you can go, okay, this is not an issue because today is the day I'm going to go into the house of the Lord, or today's the day that I receive victory, or today I choose, instead of dwelling on this, today I'm going to thank God for what he's doing for me. Today I'm going to thank God for where he's taking me. Today I'm going to thank God that he's going to place me in a place where I can minister to somebody else that's worse off than I am. Amen. So I would hope that we wouldn't complain, but we would be reminded that we need to come to a place where we thank God and we acknowledge God for who he is and what he's already done and what he's going to do. Something that I felt was worth noticing is that you didn't hear much about the slave masters until their profit was taken away. Amen? All of a sudden, when we start to take away from the enemy starts to fight back. And these people came, and they were mad. And then when you make them mad, guess what? You got into their wallet. You got into their pocket. They took these men away. And in verse 24 and 25, it says, the jailer put their feet in stocks, and their hands were set free. So you know what? You could come to a place. What are you doing? You could come to a place where the enemy would try to tie you up, where he'd try to put your feet in stocks, where your situations would try to do that, where he'd try to tie you up. And guess what? You can decide to stand here. If I stand here, this brother's going to chain me up. But if my hands go up and I decide to bless God for who he is, and I begin to say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, but God knows where I got to be. He had made a plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you. I begin to worship God. And guess what? As I worship God, then the enemy has to flee. My problems are not so big. He goes back into the closet, and I look at my master and my savior. And some of you this morning need to realize that it is no longer time to look at your stocks. But when the stocks seem to shut around your feet and the mud seems to get deep around your feet, you seem to get bogged down, I would pray that you would raise your hands and you would begin to praise. You would begin to pray. You would begin to bless God. You would begin to quote scripture. If you don't know scripture to quote, you need to find some. You need to go and look. Jeremiah 29:11 is one of my favorite verses because I believe that God knows the plans that he has for David Israel Wilkerson. And they are plans for David Israel Wilkerson to prosper. Amen. Not to be the tail, but to be the head. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So as you start to praise and you begin to raise your hands, guess what happens? Automatically, where is your focus turned from? It's turned away from your feet. I got thinking this week about feet. Actually, it started last weekend. We left church. I like it when my wife wears pretty high heel shoes. We left. We had to do some running around. She kept saying, my feet hurt. My feet hurt. My feet hurt. So later on that, she said, I need to wear heels more often. And you know, I'm thinking, you don't go shopping in the mall in heels, but we had to. She was here. She had to look good for church. You know, you ladies know how that goes. You got to have a pair of shoes for sitting down. You got to have a pair of shoes for standing up. You got to have a pair of shoes for looking good. You got to have a pair of shoes for thinking about looking good, you know. And we got the shoe store at our house. I could take you to the shoe store. It's a closet all by itself, just shoes in it. And you know, so I thought, okay. So I got an outdoor wood stove, and I decided to go out and fix a fire later on that night. And I didn't want to put my socks on because I had been watching a football game, just hanging out. So I go and get my shoes. Now, I have to have shoes also. I have man slippers, I call them. I'm a little bit funny about the fuzzy-looking slippers because I'm really having a hard time. I don't want to be an older gentleman. I'd like to just be young. And somebody in the first service said, your man shoes are Crocs. I told them, if you like Crocs, that's your business. I cannot see me in Crocs. I'm just thinking that all my biker buddies that I work with are not going to think I'm cool when I come in a pair of Crocs on the Harley and we go, hey, let's go to ride together, amen? You wear Crocs on your Harley, Wayne? No, okay. So I get my man's shoes on, I go out to the fire, I don't put his socks on. And it was pretty neat because I felt like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. He said, your foundation, your feet take a lot of abuse. And that's your foundation, and you need to take care of them. And so it was cold. My man slippers are just outside the door in the garage. There's no heat out there. And then I go on outside to fix the outdoor wood stove. And it's just like that spiritually. What's your foundation like? Are you taking care of your foundation? Because if your foundation is good, and your foundation is solid, guess what? You're going to do good. So when our foundation starts to get tied up in chains, we best be fixing our foundation up. We best be getting our hands up so that we can get away and we can get to this place where God is and we can begin to bless God for who He is. And this is, I want us to really get this. Your life may not be changing right as you speak this, but I believe that when you give a seed of praise, a seed of praise, you're planting it, right? You're planting a seed. When you put something in the ground, you expect a harvest. So if you're planting a seed of praise, then guess what happens? You are believing God for the things that you are planting. So I told you, the verse of scripture usually I start with when I'm facing something that I feel like the enemy is attacking me is that I know that God, you have prepared a way for me, that you have given me plans to prosper. I believe that no weapon formed against me can prosper. I believe that I am the head and not the tail. I begin to plant that seed. I began to get good ground, good soil, and put good seeds in there. And guess what happens? When you get good seed, you get a good harvest. Amen. But if you go into a complaining state, well, God, I know you can, but you're not gonna, then you're not gonna get that good seed. So their hands go up and they begin to praise God, and we'll read about that. And as I said, when we begin to praise God, our focus is turned. You know, Pastor spoke last week about somebody driving. And when you drive, I think it was Pastor Cody was riding his motorcycle. When you look, you go where you look. I drive a tractor trailer for a living. And if I get looking at something else going, guess what? There's a whole lot of truck going the wrong way, so you got to be careful. This morning on the way to church, I was getting some music ready. I was getting ready to worship. Just my wife and I, we didn't have any distractions. I was going to have some time with God. And as I looked, the truck just decided to change lanes. I don't know why. And she said, you need me to drive? I said, no, we're good. And we were the only ones on the highway. There was lots of room. And I managed to stay in beside all the rumble strips, and it was all good. But it reminded me that when I looked at the phone to turn, and I wasn't texting, I wasn't doing, you know, it was just like running the radio, that where you look, you go. You look, you go. And so guess what? If you're going to look up, if you're going to look at your thing as being just a stepping stone to the next victory, you're going to go up. But if you look down and you continue to say, oh, look at this is where I'm at, you're not going to go in that direction. And so Paul and Silas began to praise God. And I believe that when they started to praise God, it said there that they began to sing hymns and spiritual songs and began to pray. They began to have church. Now, I don't know about you, but the prisons then were probably not even close to being as nice as the prisons now. Dark, hungry, cold. They were beat, so they were bleeding. They just did not feel good. And without really going into it and grossing you all out, it just wasn't good. And so here they sat, and they decide they want to have church. They decide it's time to praise God. Now, I want to tell you a little secret. If you all of a sudden get in trouble and you start to praise God, and you're going, well, this is not working, maybe you ought to start before you get into trouble. Maybe it'd be a good idea when you're in your prayer time and you're in your old war room and tomorrow morning things might be good, you might want to start then. But if things start to go bad a little bit, you might want to keep going. You don't want to give up. You want to keep, and you want to establish that habit of praising God in spite of your situation, in spite of your circumstance. So I don't think that Paul and Silas just all of a sudden decided, hey, let's have church. I believe that that was their mindset. It was their mindset to praise God. and to sing songs and spiritual hymns. And it was a regular practice in their life. And I believe as they started it and as they were being accused and they were being led away, they began to praise God. God, I know that you're in control. God, I know that they're taking us away. It doesn't look so good. God, I know that I have a wayward child. But God, I know that you're God who brings my wayward child back. God, I know that you're a God who will provide for me. I lost my job, but I believe, God, that you're going to provide me for a better job. God, I know that I've got some health issues. I know that somebody in my family's not doing good. But God, I believe that you're the God who is healed. I believe that by your stripes, I am healed. I believe that I'm set free. God, I got some family members that are bound up in some habitual things. I believe that, God, I got some family members who are oppressed of the enemy, but that you are a God bigger than that. And as you begin to do that, it becomes a lifestyle. It just doesn't become a daily or a one-time practice. Amen. It becomes a lifestyle. Worship, praise is a lifestyle. And so as they began to sing and pray and their hands began to go up, I believe that they got to this place. And if it was an if they knew the songs that we sing today, I believe that they begin to sing, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. I said there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. I said, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Now you might be here this morning. You might be here this morning, and you may have struggled with life. You may have something going on that if God doesn't change it for you today, you might not be able to make it. But there is power in the name of Jesus. There is victory in the name of Jesus. And if I could get you, if I could get you to just begin to plant that seed, that seed of praise, that seed of, I know who you are, God. I know that you go before me. I know that you have made the crooked way straight. And you begin to sing. And you may have to raise your hands. As your feet get bogged down, you may have to raise your hands and start to sing. You may have to start to raise your hands and begin to bless God. And you might say, well, I don't sing so well. I don't know how to carry a tune. But you know what? God doesn't care as long as you're blessing Him. The Word of God says that He lives, He dwells in the praises of His people. So my responsibility is whether I sound good or not, my responsibility is to praise God. Because I know that when I praise God, He's going to show up. So if you're here this morning and you need God to show up, I want to encourage you. It's time for you to praise God. It's time for you to sing, there is power in the name of Jesus. Yes, there is. There is power in the name of Jesus. Sing it again. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. I want you to sing, there is freedom. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. I said there is freedom in the name of Jesus. You need to be set free this morning. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. Come on, to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. Sing one more time, there is power in the name of Jesus. Yes, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Now see, here's the thing. You started to do it. You start to go into that place. And the more you sing it, the more it begins to fall off of you. The more of what was going on in your life begins to... And you begin to actually believe what you're singing. And you know what? Sometimes you actually have to say it out loud. It can't always just be a thought process. It has to be some mouth. The Bible says what you speak out of your mouth comes out of your heart. Amen? And so you know what? I'm going to begin to speak out of my mouth that there is power in the name of Jesus. And that same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, amen? It dwells in you because we all serve the same God, amen? So there is power in the name of Jesus. Now here's the cool thing. They started singing, there is power in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, and maybe they started it out quiet. You know, it's kind of dark. You don't know who else is around. And they're singing, oh yeah. There is power in the name of Jesus. Maybe there was a little question there. Maybe just a little bit of wondering. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. And then guess what? Silas joined in. He said, there is power in the name. Oh, yeah, I said, there is power in the name. Jesus. Now they're starting to get it down deep inside of them. There is power in the name of Jesus. Yes. To break every chain. Break every chain. Break it. So now guess what? Guess what? The other prisoners beside them, they're starting to get it. The other prisoners beside them are starting to hear what they're singing. And they see that they're singing it with conviction. And all of a sudden, just what started out so small is not so small anymore. And all of a sudden, they're all singing, there is power in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. There is power in the name of Jesus. I said, there is power in the name of Jesus. Come on, he's gonna break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. So guess what? The ground begins to shake. I said the ground begins to shake. Because guess what? When Jesus comes onto the scene, when God Almighty comes onto the scene, the ground can't take it. The ground can't contain him. The ground can't contain what goes on. And all of a sudden, the power of God shows up. And when the power of God shows up, things begin to shake loose. Bolts begin to come free. And all of a sudden, what chained them up, what bound up their ankles, shook free, the Bible said. The earthquake came. And guess what? Everybody was free. Now, I said in the first service, probably if it was dark, I was hungry, had any strength in me, my first thought would be to get going, be legging it on out of there. But you know what? The jailer was going to take his life, the Bible says. And Paul said, whoa, 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 hold up. The same God that has the power to break every chain, he has the power to break the chains in your life. Ho, ho, come on, church. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. I want you to look at your neighbor this morning. I want you to look them eye to eye. And if it's your husband or your wife, don't do that. It's too easy. I want you to look at somebody you don't know. I saw the Banfields look right at each other this morning. She said, oh, it's easy. I want you to look at somebody you don't know and tell them there is power in the name of Jesus to break the chains. You pronounce it over their life this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. I want you to see something. As you tell your neighbor that, God begins to do things in your life. As you tell your neighbor there is power, God breaks the chains in your life this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. We worship you. So the jailer, here's the cool thing. The jailer gets saved. And all of a sudden, somehow, the townspeople or the people who put him in jail said, whoa, we don't want nothing to do with these brothers because they got some kind of power. And they said, just get them out of here. Just be real quiet and get them out. But I like what Paul said. He said, oh, no, you don't. You don't do that to me. He said, you beat me in public. You tore my clothes off me in public. You're going to let me out in public, and you're going to let me know. That's what kind of God we serve. He gets the final word, amen. I said he gets the final word. Hallelujah. Glory. So if you're here this morning, if you're here this morning, and I believe that every one of us at some point in time in life have things that we have to deal with. I want you to get ready to throw your seed. Give your praise seed out. It may not be happening right now, but if you go, God, I'm going to give you my first fruit, my first seed. I'm going to praise you in spite of it. And I believe that as they were going out, they were singing another song. They were headed on out. They were headed on out of the city, and they said, these guys are free. They said, these guys are free. I believe that all of a sudden, Paul and Silas began to sing. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Take me to D. Are we in D? Take me there. Okay. So if you're here this morning and you need your chains to be set free, instead of having somebody pray for you, instead of having somebody lay hands on you, I want you to understand that it is your responsibility. Listen, I am not against having hands laid on, but sometimes if you want something from God, you gotta show Him how much you want it. You gotta show Him how much you want it. But before we do that, I would be amiss if you're here this morning and you do not know this Jesus as your personal Savior. You have not said, God, I am a sinner. The Bible says if you confess Him and you confess your sins and your faults before Him, He will remember you. Amen. He is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if you could bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. And if you're here this morning and you have not accepted Jesus into your heart as your personal Savior, could I get you to slip your hand up this morning? It's not something to be ashamed of. Because guess what? If you raise your hand and you say, I want to know Jesus as my personal Savior, I want to accept Him into my heart, you will be able to spend eternity in heaven with Him. I can't think of a better place to spend forever is in heaven. Is there anybody here this morning that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior? Would you raise your hand so that I could have somebody pray with you and lead you to my Savior? Amen. Okay, I got to believe that we're all Christians here this morning. I got to believe that we all know Jesus as our personal Savior. So the next thing is this. How bad do you want to be set free from what you're dealing with? I said, how bad? Somebody kind of got it over here. They begin to shout it out. I'm telling you what, praising God does not have to be some structured thing. It doesn't have to be something that somebody talks you. You know, praising God isn't getting on your knees because this is what so-and-so does. Praising God could be a holy roller church, man. It can be dancing before God. It can be shouting before God. It can be praying. It can be talking the word of God. Praising God is giving God glory for who he is and what he's about to do. I want you to, this morning, if you want it from God, you want to be set free, I want you to come and cast your seed at the altar. I want you to come and give your seed of praise and sing it with me as you come. Sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet. Oh yeah, that saved. Oh, like me. Hallelujah, come on, sing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Come on, sing it out. Twas grace. Twas grace. Come on, praise God. Get your freedom this morning. Get your freedom up front this morning. Get what God has got for you. Begin to put your praise seed at the altar. Because your freedom is right here. It's right in your praise this morning. Yes, amen. Yes, hallelujah. All right, here we go. Sing my chains. My chains. Yes, I've been set free. Hallelujah. Yes. Come on, church. Come on, church. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, my chains on. Yes, amen. Yes, I am my God. Oh, his ransom. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. I felt like the Spirit of God was just speaking to me. Mackenzie, if you could put me in the key of C, it would be great. Unending, unending. I said unending. Listen to me this morning. I said unending love. We're going to dismiss. I pray that God would bless each and every one of you. But as you go this morning, there's a Sunday school song that I felt like God said to speak to somebody. And it could be just one person in here. But before you go, I want you to know that take me to Jesus loves me. That's where we're going. Ooh, are you in C?
Yep.
Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Oh yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Sing it again. Oh, yes, Jesus. Come on. Oh, he loves you. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Oh, the Bible. If you're here this morning and you would like somebody to pray for you, there will be people, the prayer team will be up front. They will be ready to agree with you in prayer this morning. They will, if you say, well, I want to praise, they'll be here to praise with you. They're here to help you go from where you are to the next level. So come. If you need something, please come. If you're all set and you're ready to go into your week praising God and you're offering up your seed praise, I pray, Father God, that you would bless your people this morning, that you would have your hand upon them, and as they go throughout the week, God, you would speak into their heart, into their life, God. You would remind them to praise their way out of their problem. Praise their way out of their problem. Bless them in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great week. Ooh, yes.